Thank you for joining us today for another sermon podcast from Flushing Community Church. We desire to experience the transforming love of God and share it with others. It's our hope that you will find today's recording encouraging for your personal journey of faith. Let's join a member of our staff as they share another message from God's Word.
We're talking about kingdoms. We're talking about the coming of the kingdom of God. And it's a pretty powerful series. I was thinking about this in the last 24 hours because I'm preaching today. But as I was thinking about it, I was like, wow, we're preaching on... this was Jesus' number one sermon topic. as he's going from town to town, the only thing really that it preaches on, that it says that Jesus preached on was the kingdom of God. So I was like, well, no pressure, Nate, to get this right. I don't know. I'm going to try my hardest to get this piece right today. It is a part of, it's a message that is very close to my heart. I think God's just always given me a passion for forgotten folks or for people who just get overlooked. I think he blessed me at different points with being overlooked myself and not being great at everything. And so... You get kind of a heart for the underdog or whatever. But I work at, my name is Nate Oliver. For those of you that don't know me doing this, I'm going to get all this done somehow. My name is Nate Oliver. I'm in 18th grade. My favorite color is red. I enjoy basketball. And I work at Carriagetown Ministries, which is inner city. We're a rescue mission. We're not a homeless shelter. We're a rescue mission. We exist simply because Jesus cares about the poor. Okay, that's why we exist. And it's been my privilege since 2008 to work in downtown Flint, which was a dream of mine. It really was, and it still is. And I've gotten to listen to so many amazing stories. And there's this one time I was sitting with this guy in my office, and I was having a conversation with him, and as I had so many times, you hear so much loss. And this guy was just telling me, oftentimes, by the time they get to us at Carriagetown, a person has lost virtually everything, from their health, to all their finances, to their retirements, to their families, for whatever reason. And he went through all that, and it was kind of a long conversation. And at the end, he said, you know, he's like, I know that God won't put me through more than I can handle. I just wish he wouldn't trust me so much. And when he said that, I started laughing so hard. At the end, and it actually turned out good. I mean, he laughed with me too, but he was not trying to be funny. But it was just hilarious, the timing of it. I was like, this is insane. I wish God wouldn't trust me so much. So this kingdom, you know, we just prayed that God would, that His kingdom would come, that His will would be done here on this earth among us as it is in heaven. That's implying that His kingdom might be something different than what we would envision. It's implying that His will might not be what our will would be. And we're saying, if you meant it when you prayed it, that our will isn't the best. That our view of this life and our understanding of the world is not, it's not the best. It's not the most accurate. It's not what we hope for. It's not what we desire. It's not our highest goal. That our highest goal is for us to be able to see the world and operate in the world like Jesus would. Right? And that is the kingdom of God. As I was going through the Gospels, looking for what does kingdom mean, there were a number of... I just went through all the different passages, and there are descriptions of what the kingdom of God is like. I'm just going to just rip through them real quick, okay? It must be, you must be born again in order to see the kingdom. Okay? I'm not going to explain these. We're not going to unpack them right now. They're just interesting, okay? It is good. It is good news that Jesus proclaimed to people town to town. So he was Jesus, this guy who lived 2,000 years ago that we're all here gathered about. This was the message he preached. Was about this kingdom. Its proclamation was often accompanied by acts of power and casting out demons and evil spirits. So there was always signs and wonders that accompanied this message of kingdom. Jesus said that the kingdom of God belongs to poor folks. That's what the Bible says. That they have special access to the kingdom of God. That it belongs to little children. The kingdom is secret and invisible to many people in the world. It is both among us now and is still coming. In this kingdom, the first will be last, and the last will be first. And if you want to be first, you got to be last. You got to be the servant of all. Jesus requires a full commitment in order from his followers in order to enter the kingdom of God. It's not a halfway thing. It's a hot and cold thing. It's all in. It's like a seed that starts very, very small. The kingdom of God is very, very small and very, very unassuming. But it grows and it becomes huge and powerful. And it is a protection place and a haven and an oasis for many. It's like yeast in bread dough that works its way throughout the entire dough. The path leading to the kingdom of God is narrow, and many people will miss it. People will come at the end times. People will come from east, west, north, and south to take their place in the kingdom. There will be a great feast in the kingdom to come. The kingdom is within you. Within me. It must be received like a little child in order to enter it. You just got to believe. It is difficult and rare for the rich to enter the kingdom of God. And the last one is Jesus was talking to folks like who would be people trying to go after, you know, people pursuing their path to ordination. Like me, and district superintendents, and general superintendents. He was in a company like this, and he said to folks like us that the tax collectors and the prostitutes were entering the kingdom of God ahead of us. The kingdom is, God's kingdom is different than our kingdom. God's kingdom is different than our world. And today we're talking about God's kingdom coming to the forgotten and the ignored. We all have people in our world that are forgotten and ignored. If you, there's usually someone in your family who gets passed over a whole lot. If you just think about your children, or maybe it's your spouse. If you are, there's people at our work that are just not dynamic, that are maybe very introverted. You know, or they're not very good at their job, and so they get passed over. There are people at school that are not going to get us any higher on the cool ladder at all. In fact, they'll probably subtract us a few rungs if we get caught being seen with them. And they're there, right? There are people everywhere that get forgotten and ignored. And how awesome would it be if we became a church, even more than we are now, that gets good at seeing people. That we become known for being willing to take that risk to befriend the forgotten and ignored. I had a professor in seminary that said, you know, one of the highest callings of ministry for effective ministry is that you have to be willing to be forgotten. And I found that so ironic. In order for us to bring kingdom come to the forgotten and ignored, we must be willing to join them. We must be willing to join the forgotten and ignored in order to bring kingdom come to them. My grandma is passed away now. It's my father's mother. And she impressed on my dad a message that was very, very important. He's passed it on to me. And this message goes something like this, and I think that you probably may have heard something, maybe this exact phrase before, but you can tell a person's character by how they treat those who can't do them any good. You can tell a person's character by how they treat someone who can't do them any good. And I was trying to search through the passage, through Scripture, to find out what does God, that's my job, is to today, is to bring before you the Word of God and what He wants for His people regarding forgotten and ignored folks. If you have your Bibles, you can turn to Matthew chapter 25. This passage is one of the most important passages. I think I even read it the last time I was up here preaching. Okay? It's one of the things that drives me in my work at Carriage Town and just in everyday life, because it has to do with the bottom line. You know, we can dance around and have parties and all kinds of stuff. You can enjoy all kinds of things. But the bottom line, if you're owning a business or you're a manager or whatever, the bottom line is the predictor of what is to come. The bottom line is the truth. And the bottom line is the end of time. Jesus is on His throne because He is King. He's really King of the world. He's King of kings. And all nations will bow their knee to Jesus. And then He's gonna separate all of us. According to the Word of God, He's going to separate each of us according to what we've done and the way we have spent our time on this earth. It actually matters. We're actually becoming sheep or we're becoming goats. Which one do you want to be? I didn't hear anything. Well, let me guess you, the right answer is sheep. You want to grow really curly hair and taste really good when you get cooked. I don't know. We're going to read through this together. This is Matthew chapter 25. When the Son of Man comes in His glory and all the angels with Him, He will sit on His glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered before Him, and He will separate the people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on His right and the goats on His left. Then the King will say to those on His right, "Come, you who are blessed by My Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world." Man, wouldn't it be so awesome to hear that about you? That's amazing. There's nothing better than that. "For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink." Is this rocket science? "I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, thanks, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me." Then the righteous will answer Him. It's like stuff that we just know to do. We just don't do it sometimes. Sometimes we do it. And man, don't we get blessed every time we do it? But it's work. You're right. It is work. "Then the righteous will answer Him." And it's inconvenient too. "Then the righteous will answer Him, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, and thirsty and give you something to drink?'" It's so funny. They're unaware they did any of this. "When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and come visit you?" And then the King will reply, "Truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me. And then he will say to those on his left, this is the other side of the coin, folks, depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. That's hard. For I was hungry, and you didn't give me anything to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you didn't invite me in. I needed clothes, and you didn't clothe me. I was sick, and I was in prison, and you didn't look after me. And they also will answer, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty, a stranger, needing clothes, sick or in prison, and did not help you? And he will reply, truly, I tell you, whatever you did not do for one of the least of these, you didn't do for me. And then they will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life. So there is this, you know, they say that they say the Bible tells us that the beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord. It's real. I pray that you are constantly reminded of that time in your life where God made His presence and His reality known to you. It's so important that we have that experience of God, because it is that that keeps us following Him. It's that that keeps us choosing life rather than things that lead to death. And if you haven't had that experience, I pray you have it. You're here for a reason today. My dad was impacted by my grandma. And I think that growing up, well, first, my grandma, I think one of the reasons she had that statement so firmly in her heart that you can tell a person's character by what they do for those who can't do them any good is she got polio when she was in her early 20s. She was a beautiful woman. But she got polio when she was in her 20s, when my dad was one. And she lost the use of her legs permanently. And for the rest of her life, she was a stay-at-home mom who couldn't walk. I have no memories of my grandma walking. And that really, really made an impression on my father. About a couple years ago, my Uncle Gail, once upon a time, was a wealthy man. He was a multimillionaire, owned his own business down in Romeo. And we would spend our Oliver family reunions at his house. And I always looked forward to going to his house because he had horses and like big like castle-looking house in the country and stuff. And he was just a really charismatic guy. You know, he had this like collection of cars. They were all like older than 1950 and like looked like pristine. It was just so cool. We spent half the day just looking at his cars, you know. And but Uncle Gail had a turn in life. And Uncle Gail lost everything. He lost all his money. He lost his business. He lost his health. He had a stroke and lost the ability to talk, lost the ability to walk, lost the ability to even feed himself. And he ended up in a nursing home in Lapeer. Broke as a joke. And yet he had full mental capability. He had not lost any of that. He was all there and not able to do anything. Some of you can relate to that. And my dad, and he also lost, not through divorce, but just his wife just stopped coming to see him. Children didn't really come around to see him. So he was alone. But my dad just has inspired me, because he, even to like missing times with me, he made sure to always go see Uncle Gail. Like every couple weeks, he would go and he'd spend a couple hours with Uncle Gail in the nursing home. He'd feed him and he'd read him the paper and tell him what was going on out there and carry on conversations, one-way conversations with Uncle Gail, getting him laughing and stuff like that. And my dad inspires me when I think about people who see people, who refuse to let people become forgotten and ignored, okay, even when it's inconvenient for them. And I ask myself, why do we forget and ignore some, and why do some so intentionally refuse to let people be forgotten and ignored? And my wife and I were talking last night, and there's a couple things at play. In some of us, there's a deep fear and love for God versus a deep fear and love for the world. Let me try to get through this. Yeah, we'll just leave that at that. Fear and love of God versus fear and love of the world. There's a second second fill in the blank space that you have on your handout today. The first one was that phrase from my grandma. The second one is when we fail to see people, we fail to see Jesus. If I encourage anybody today regarding this, that's the biggest issue. With choosing to ignore folks is that we actually fail to see our Lord. We're running out of time. The way I see it, there's a couple sides to the coin that we have going on today. The first is we have like Matthew 25, and we have Jesus telling us these simple things that we can do to make sure that people don't get forgotten, that people don't get ignored in this world. And it's just going and finding those folks. We already know hungry people, people who are thirsty, people who have a need. And just taking the time to see people, to take care of those needs, to go the extra mile if you can. But as I was thinking about that, it just feels like a lot of doing. What's driving me to do this? Is it just guilt, fear? I'm totally tired. I'm totally scared to fry, and so I'm just going to do all this stuff. And the reality is no, like the heart and soul and our core as Christian folks is our identity as a son or daughter of God. If we don't get that God saw us first, then we have nothing to get. We got no well to draw from with going and doing these things. The number one reason that I think that we ignore folks, that we pass over people, is because we're scared. We're fearful of something. We're fearful of losing something. We're fearful of not knowing what's going to happen. We're fearful that it's going to cost too much. We're fearful of a lot of things. So I ask myself, well, what is it that God, if God expects us to do these things, He's got to get rid of our fear some way. Because I'm powerless to do it. I don't know about you, but I can't just will myself out of fear. Well, God says, when He baptized His Son, He didn't baptize His Son. John did, right? But when His Son came out of the water, when He was baptized, there was a dove that came down and landed on His shoulder, right? And there was a voice from heaven that came and said, "Behold, this is My beloved Son. I love Him. And in Him I am well pleased." This is the truth. If you're in Jesus Christ, then what is said of Jesus when He came out of the waters of baptism is said of you and me. That God loves us, that we're beloved of God, and that He's pleased with us. It's not just that He loves us, but He's actually pleased with us. Meditating on that, I'm going to play for you just a short music video. Okay? This is like my favorite song right now. And it reminds me of my core. It reminds me of who I am. It reminds me of the central truth of my life. And I believe the central truth of what it means to be a follower of Christ. Okay? As this plays, I just want you to, you can close your eyes or you can watch or you can come forward and have some time with the Lord. You can stay where you're at and have time with the Lord. But I want you to listen to the words and ask yourself, just be and ask yourself, do I understand myself as a son of God? Do I understand myself as a daughter of God? How am I with Him? And then I'll have a closing thought, and then we'll be done for the day. So this is Will Reagan. He's a worship pastor out of Knoxville, Tennessee. So you can play this in the moment. Through and through. So, yeah. Really, really enjoyed that song. And that's what I believe as a Christian, as a human being, getting to that, getting to understand that God sees us, that He knows you, and that He loves you through and through. Roll around in that reality. Join Jesus in His baptism and be a son, be a daughter of the King. And then you have an unending well to draw from. You're okay. If you're safe and warm with your dad, who is powerful and the King of Kings, that reality will dissipate the fear. You don't have to be afraid. You can be empowered to love. You can be empowered to face your fears. You can be empowered to feed people, to be a friend, to clothe people, to welcome that stranger in and have lunch, to go sit by that kid at school. It's that understanding that you're God's kid that breaks the chains of fear and empowers us to be the people God's calling us to be and bring kingdom come. So as we close today, I have a benediction for you, which I found out is a blessing. I'm going to bless you with a couple words today. Actually, there's a few. May you find that you are safe and warm in His loving arms. May you know deeply that God sees you, that He knows you, and that He loves you through and through. And may you share this perfect love that He has so freely given you. May you take the time and the energy to see and love others around you, because you were seen and you were loved first.
Additional downloads and resources are available by visiting flushingcommunity.org. Join us this Sunday as we gather to experience God's transforming love together.